Afternoon, everybody. If you're not here for a time management seminar, you are now. So if you're expecting to be in a time management seminar, then there's plenty of seats down here. If you're sat at the back, then I understand. If you've got people here who you know, or from your church who know you, it'd be really helpful if you could sit together. So if that means moving around a bit, then if you can do that now, and if that means asking somebody to move out of a chair, then just tell them, it'll be okay. Good, now you've got settled, there's some two sheets of paper here that you all need. So you can delegate somebody from your table or from your settee, but you need one each of those two sheets. So if you want to come and just help yourselves. There's two sheets, and each person needs both sheets. I know you're all able to do more than one thing at a time, so while you're doing that, I'll just introduce myself. My name's Kevin Rose, as you will be aware.
I'm Kevin.
Oh, yeah. I'm currently operations manager at King's Church in Hastings, and I've had some history in various activities within New Frontiers. I was based here in CCK for just under 20 years, looking after finances primarily, but also involved in lots of other things. My New Frontiers responsibilities range from book publishing to running Stoneleigh Bible Week to organising finances to running the office here for a while. So, I've done a few things. You know what it's like, jack of all trades. Yeah, thank you. Okay, so you should by now each have two sheets of paper, one of which looks like that and the other looks like that. If you haven't, don't be embarrassed, just come up and get them from here. Okay, what I'm going to do is talk about a couple of things first, and then I'm going to give you some tools to help you with time management. That's the plan, and you'll be using these sheets. We've been doing a few things together, and hopefully you'll go away with something tangible that will help you with time management in the future. I have got not very extensive notes, because it's only an hour and a quarter session, but I do keep fairly detailed notes, so if you would like them, email me and I will send them to you. My email address, if you want it, is kevinrose, all one word, no dot, at kingshastings.org. kevinrose at kingshastings.org. So we're just going to have a look at a couple of things first. Possibly something you might not necessarily associate with time management. The first thing is know yourself. Know your strengths. What makes you tick? What you enjoy? Things that you take on easily. Things perhaps that you avoid. Now, why is this important for time management? Well, let me give you an illustration. My wife is a do-it-now person. And sometimes that is a real benefit. Other times, to be honest, it's a pain in the neck. But the one thing that she has learnt from that is that if she needs to get something done and not be distracted, then she has to do something about it. So when she's at work and she's got a task that she needs to get done, she turns off her email notifications. That's a simple thing, but it means that when she's head down, involved in a task, and it doesn't any longer go blip, and she immediately turns over and looks at the email and gets distracted and gets drawn into that and then finds that she doesn't get done what she needs to do. So she knows that about herself, and then she can manage accordingly and therefore helps to control the way she does things and gets things done. And the danger is that when you don't do that, you're focused on your task and you find that you fail, you don't get it done, it's not achieved in the time. And probably what you'd say is, well, I was so busy and I had so many emails. And it's actually more about managing it and not getting distracted. So, what sort of person are you? Do you always miss deadlines? Are you late for trains or appointments? Do you never have quite enough time? Never quite get to the end of your to-do list? Maybe you don't have a to-do list. You overrun meetings. You're the last to arrive. You're really easily distracted. Maybe you have a do-it-now mentality. Or do you leave things perhaps for a better time? Are you an inner processor? Or do you talk to as many people as you possibly can? Do you make instant decisions? Are you comfortable with yourself? Or do you wish you were really much rather like somebody else? Do you write copious notes about everything or keep it all in your head? Are you interested in people more than you are in tasks or activities? Are you forgetful or maybe just lazy? Do you think you have something to contribute? Or perhaps you think it's more important than others' contribution? Are you a team player, or would you much prefer to work alone? Do you delegate, or do you think, actually, it's easier, quicker, much more efficient if I do it myself? Do you tackle problems head on, or are you more inclined to wait, hoping things will change and be easier to tackle? Do you leave things to the last minute, just so you can perhaps gather all the information? Is your glass half full or half empty? Are you consistent, persistent, or just immovable? And knowing about yourself will really help you as we look at some of the tools a little bit later. So, first task, take your bit of paper, and at the top of this sheet, I want you to list 5 to 10 items, either from the things that I've mentioned that are up here, or things that you know about yourself. What are you like? Write them down, and if you've got people around you who know you, show them, or let them add to the list, or let them point it out and say, you are joking, you're not really like that, and see how your list develops. Okay, you've got about 5 minutes to do that. How you doing? Anyone had your friend, colleague, person who knows you add or change something? Or do they all agree with you? Anyone? How was it? Do you know people agree with you or disagree? Point out things that have they added things to your list that you hadn't got there? Come on, guys, this is supposed to be interactive workshop. Anyone had anything changed or agreed with? It must be one or the other. Working with people rather than perhaps activities or tasks. Okay, we'll move on. We'll come back to you'll use that a little bit later, or if not, take it away with you and use it once you've got the whole mix of things. We're not going to be able to identify all your character traits just in this workshop, but if this is something that is perhaps a trigger to you, then there are lots of things available to help you identify what you're good at, what your character traits are, what your strengths are. One that I would recommend is this. It's called Now Discover Your Strengths by a guy called Marcus Buckingham. It's not a Christian book, but it is, I think, very accessible. One of the things I like about it is you only have to read the first three chapters and the rest of the book is reference. But it gives you access to an online assessment. So you have to answer, I don't know how many questions, you know, and so you have to do it within a particular time frame. And what it identifies 34 strengths and it gives you your top five. And the basic premise of it is that that's what you should work on, but also be aware of. So one of the things that when I did this, one of my top five strengths is something that he identifies as maximizer. And what that means is that I don't find the ordinary acceptable. Just improving something a little bit is not good enough for me. If it's not excellent, then forget it. Now, that can be a real challenge, but if I know that about myself, I can deal with things appropriately. And I know that when I'm trying to achieve something, that that's what's within me. And understanding yourself is good. So I found this very helpful. And one of the nice things about it is that, as I say, you only have to read three chapters. The rest of it is reference. But it also talks about how to manage people with those particular strengths and how to be managed. And I found that extremely helpful, particularly in a work environment. So it's worth a look, about £6 on Amazon. So quickly, one more illustration as to why this is, I think this is important in terms of the context of time management. I think I'm quite good in a crisis, but actually I'm probably better at planning and organising in advance. And during one of the years that I was responsible for organising Stoney Bible Week, we had a year when we had torrential rain and flooding. Some of you may remember it, and it's, you know, it's kind of fairly current in terms of the way the weather is at the moment. And we had to evacuate hundreds of families from site. And I remember having an emergency meeting with my management team when we made the decision that we would have to evacuate. And at that moment, they all looked to me as leader of the team to organise that activity. But I knew I could do it, but there was another guy on the team that I knew could do it better than me. And so I said to him, look, would you be prepared to do this? And he said, sure, yeah. So he took it on. He did it better than I would have done. And it released me to do the things that I was better at. Now, that you might say, well, that's just team. But actually, if you don't know yourself, you don't know what you're good at, you don't know what your strengths are, your traits are, what other people's are, then time management becomes affected by that because I would not have been so efficient in that context if I hadn't known that about myself. So knowing yourself, very important. The second thing is understanding your context. Let me have a show of hands, okay? You've got two choices, fight or flight, okay? Which are you? Hands up, fight. And hands up, flight. Okay, now I'll give you a situation. Which was right? Eh? Fight was correct. Was it? So you've got a man pointing a gun at you, you're going to fight. Yeah. So, okay. We're never going to agree, are we? Okay, here's another one. Also, a show of hands, do you stand your ground, or are you prepared to give way and let people maybe walk over you? So, stand your ground. More likely to give way. Okay, now let me give you some context. You see, it's interesting, isn't it? You can know yourself. You know, I'll stand my ground. Nothing's going to move me until that train runs you over. You see, context makes a big difference to understanding how you deal with things. So, let me give you an example. At work, you have a team around you, and they trust you. You trust them. You've worked with them for some time. And your tendency is to make quick decisions. And you know that your team will pick it up, they'll run with it, and if they feel it's perhaps not such a good decision, they'll talk to you about it, and together you reach a good conclusion. Now put yourself in the context of church. You're leading a serving team, and they're all volunteers. If you operate in the same way, you may find yourself without a serving team and operating on your own. So, I make quick decisions, but it cannot operate without a context, and you have to understand how to manage that. And that impacts upon your time and other people's time and how you manage it. So, that's a bit of background. Let's move on to some tools. That's too soon. I'm not allowed to see that. Okay, your first sheet again. Second section down here, what to do. What I want you to do is create a list of 20 things that you need to do in the next 4 weeks. They can be to do with work, church, home, personal, recreation, social, or a mixture of all of them. So you can keep it completely focused on work or any one of those, or it can be a whole mixture of any of them. So whatever you need to do. So this is for you, this is not for me, this is for your benefit, okay? So, try to think of those things that are relevant to you, not just make up things that you think, oh yeah, that'll do. And try, if you can, to get a variety of things that will just take more than a few minutes. It's not just, oh, I've got to make a phone call. Now, it may be that phone call is important, and it needs to be on your to-do list. But try to get a variety of things that will take different lengths of time. Okay, now what I want you to do is you'll see just below line 20, a row of emotions. I want you to identify how you feel now at this very moment, having written down those 20 or so things. Okay, are you relaxed, confident, concerned, tense, anxious, nervous, overwhelmed, panic? Okay, just circle one or tick it. No, just about how you feel now. Just having done it, having written them all down, how do you feel? Only one. Yeah. So it could be, you see, that you write them all down and you think, wow, I feel much better now. I feel like I've got a handle on all these things I've got to do. I feel more relaxed. Or it may be you look at it and you think, man alive, how am I ever going to get all that done in the next 4 weeks? So you're feeling overwhelmed or panicked. I want you to assess how you are feeling now. Okay? I know it's tricky for us boys. Right, okay. A simple tool. Something called the urgent, important square. And this you'll see, yes, on the other sheet. You can write this in if you wish. So, top left, urgent and important. So this is an assessment of things that you have to do. If it's urgent and it's important, then you do it now. If it's urgent but not important, you delegate it. Now, you have to remember that this is an assessment of you and your tasks. So what you might identify as important, somebody else might not, and vice versa. If it's not urgent, but it is important, then decide when you're going to do it. And then finally, if it's not urgent and not important, dump it, forget it, throw it away. Not interested, you're too busy. Now, this is a really simple way of managing tasks and therefore time. And you can apply it to anything and everything that you're doing. So if you are sat at a desk and you get lots of post come in, then assess it as you go. Don't keep going over it and over it and over it. Just deal with it. Pick it up, look at it. Is this for me? Do I need to deal with this instantly? Or can I give it to somebody else? Can I decide it can be done next week? Whether it's emails, whether it's tasks, whether it's preparing for an event, whatever it is, phone calls, you get a message. Somebody's on the phone and you think, I know what that's about. Do you take the call? It's your choice. If it's urgent and important, sure, take it. But if it's not, then assess how you deal with it. Well, if you know the person and you know what they're going to be talking about, you can make that assessment. If you have to take the call, then you can still make that assessment. So you get the information, and I would say, I can't deal with that at the moment, but I will pass it on and I will make sure it happens, because you make the assessment that it's urgent. But it may not be important for you. It may be important for that person, and it may be important it gets done. But you can hand it on to somebody else, or you make the assessment, actually, this only has to be done within the next week or so. Then you can say to the person, okay, that's not a problem, I will make sure that happens, but you don't have to do it then. Now, it's really important that you keep track of things if you're going to use this sort of system, because it's no point deciding that you're going to do something next Thursday if you don't make a note or use a diary. A complete waste of time. You may as well not do it at all. It may make you feel better until next Thursday arrives and you've forgotten all about it and somebody rings you up and says, have you? And you think, oh, flipping heck, no, I haven't. So it has to. You have to make a concerted effort to handle things in a particular way if you're going to use this sort of system. But how long did I give you? 5 minutes to write down 20 things? It doesn't take very long. And as you get into the habit of doing it, you can, cross them off as you do them, add to the list. Doesn't have to be on a bit of paper. Better on an electronic device. But it's easy to do, and then you can manage it. And as I said earlier, these are personal to you. So it's what's urgent or important to you, and that may not be the same for somebody else. And remember that when, particularly in a work context or in a church context, if you decide that something is urgent but not important, so therefore you're going to delegate it to somebody else, probably at that moment it becomes urgent and important for that person. And if you're responsible for managing them, then part of that responsibility is ensuring that they're not overloaded. And therefore your time management is an assessment of you and your team around you. And that's an important part of personnel management. So, now what I want you to do is, with your list of to-do items that are numbered 1 to 20, I want you to write the relevant number in the box on your sheet as to whether that item is a urgent important, an urgent not important, not urgent but important, or not urgent and not important. So just put the numbers in the relevant squares. So make that assessment of your to-do list. Okay, so I'll assume you're done. Now, I want you to make that same assessment. How do you feel now? Do you feel different? Do you feel the same as you did before? Has it changed your perspective at all? Have you got 19 of your 20 items in the Do It Now box and you're thinking, I shouldn't be here, I need to leave and get on with them? Or perhaps you feel a bit more relaxed because most of them went in the dump it box. Actually, I don't need to do any of these. This is fantastic. So, assess how you feel. There's no right or wrong because you're all different. And how you approach it, your character traits, your strengths will indicate whether you now feel the same, different. Okay, another tool. Same square box. But this one is impact against effort. Okay, so if something is high impact but low effort, it's a quick win. Are you with me? So it has a big impact, but it doesn't cost you much. You don't have to put much into it. If it's high impact and high effort, then it's probably a major project. Similarly, if it's low impact and low effort, it's a fill-in. And lastly, low impact, high effort, a hard slog. You put a lot into it and not much out. Now, the reason that this is a helpful tool is getting back to where we started, which is assessing how you do things and your character traits, what your strengths are, and being able to identify what are quick wins, and also about yourself. So are you a morning person or an evening person? Are you better after lunch or actually definitely not better after lunch? And only you know that about yourself. Well, no, probably other people do as well, but you know, I don't know that about you. And knowing that helps you to manage the things that you do. So I like to, first thing in the morning, go through my emails. So I might get, I don't know, 10, 20 emails overnight. And first thing in the morning, I take about 20 minutes, half an hour, and I'll go through my emails. Now, most of them I can deal with quite quickly. So I feel a sense of achievement. They're done quite quickly. They're often not necessarily big impact, but in the sense that they're done, they're out the way, they're not clogging up my inbox, and I get them out the way. So for me, they're quick wins. But also, I'm doing the same assessment as the previous box. Do I put it in a actually, I need to give this to somebody else. Or this is too big to deal with now, this moment, but I can leave it till Thursday next week or Friday or whatever it is. And then I can create a to-do list with dated and, you know, with computers. It's fantastic. It just pops up on the day and says, by the way, you've got to do this today. And that enables me to manage that, and I get it done in 20, 25 minutes. Now, that may not be your preferred method. It may be that you think, oh no, I need to get on with my major projects first thing in the morning. That's when I'm best. Or it may be you think, no, I'm still half asleep. I haven't had breakfast till 11, and I'm useless until lunchtime. Well, in that case, there's no point in putting those major projects in there, because you've got to put some effort in. And it's understanding what works with you and what doesn't work with you. And also, when, you know, when are you unproductive? So I have sort of 4:30 to 5-ish. I'm not ever so productive, because I'm thinking about going home and what I want to do in the evening. And I, you know, if unless I've got something that is taking me right up to 5 o'clock, and I come 4:30, I'm winding down a bit, I've finished doing the things that I was planning to do in the afternoon. And to be honest, if it wasn't for the fact that I picked up my wife on the way home and she doesn't finish till 5 o'clock, I'd probably have gone, because I've just had it. I don't really want to do any more. But that's the moment to do your low impact, low effort items. Those things that you think, I just fill in, I just get those done. Because in that 30 minutes, it doesn't take you much effort, and you've got them out of the way. All right, they haven't made a big impact, but it's very satisfying. The other thing I sometimes put in there is something that I really enjoy, something that's going to motivate me. So if somebody says to me, I've got a problem with my spreadsheet, it's like my favourite thing in the world. I love Excel and any opportunity to play around with it and make up complicated formulas. It's great. I love it. So at 4:30 on any given day, give me a spreadsheet and I'm right in there. But I know that about myself. So if I know that I've got a bit of a, you know, wearying afternoon, I think, oh yeah, come 4:15, let's have a spreadsheet. now, you may not understand that, and that's fine. But it works for me, because I know that about myself. Sad, maybe, but there we are. But if you know those things about yourself, you can manage your day and manage your time much more effectively. And it's not just about your day in terms of your work day, but home and weekends. You know, you want to get back to work on a Monday, assuming you start back to work on a Monday, and feel like, I've had a good weekend. Now, whether that's you spent the whole weekend with your feet up reading a book, or whether you've been, you know, crazily busy in the garden or doing DIY or whatever it happens to be, then, but that's what you want to fill it with, those things that you enjoy. And if it's stacked full of things that are desperately urgent because you've left them to the last minute, you get back to work on a Monday morning and you think, oh, I've had a rotten weekend. Well, I never want to feel that way. I want my weekends to be enjoyable. So it's not just work. Right, now what I want you to do is, for each of the items that you have put in your do it now or your decide when to do it boxes, I want you to put those numbers in the relevant impact effort boxes. Does that make sense? So if you only those items in the do it now or decide when to do it, I want you to assess those items. Now, the reason I'm only looking at those is because the others don't matter. Because the ones in the delegate box, you're not going to do. You're giving them to somebody else. And certainly the ones in the dump it box, you don't want to think about anymore. So it's just those two boxes. Do it now or decide when to do it. assess which of those categories it fits into. How you doing? Okay. Right, now ideally, in a perfect world, your do it now items will be in your quick wins or fill-ins, and your decide when to do it will be in your major projects and hard slogs. Now I realise we're not living in a perfect world, and it doesn't always work out that way, but that's really where you want to aim. Because you want to decide when you deal with your major projects and when you deal with your hard slogs. You want to allocate the time and you want to plan it well in advance. So if you know you've got a hard slog to do, you've got a really challenging task that isn't going to produce many results, it's got to be done and it's going to require a lot of energy from you, choose when to do it. Choose your best time. Choose when you're most motivated. And then it's not going to be quite such a hard slog. Don't choose to do it when you're dog tired and you're fed up, you want to go home, and you don't like life anymore. It's not going to be very effective. But sometimes you can't help it. Partly because you haven't planned to do it at the right time, partly because other things come up. You know, as I say, it's not a perfect world, but that's what you want to aim towards, so that you choose when you do it and you take control of the things that need to be done. Okay, I'm sorry this is getting rather touchy-feely, but I want you to do that same assessment again. How do you now feel, having identified where those items go and how they fit with when you've got to do them? So, here we go. Quick show of hands. Anyone has ticked a different emotion having gone through that activity? Has it got better or worse?
Better.
Anyone got worse? Okay, no, that's fine. It's fine for you, I'm not bothered. No, I don't mean that. But the thing is, that can be true, because you've come to realise that actually you've got a whole pile of stuff and really you probably haven't got enough time to do it all. And that's not going to make you feel good, is it? But it's interesting that the majority of you have had a better emotion. And that comes from just managing the process. Now, it hasn't actually taken very long. It's, 25 to 5? So we've only been going for a short while, less than an hour. And I've done a lot of talking. So this activity of managing your time doesn't take very long. Now, if you're looking at 20 things to do over the next 4 weeks, in theory, I know it's only a theory and it doesn't work out quite that way in practice, but that means that an hour a month could manage your time. Now, break that down into weeks and say 15 minutes every Monday morning, and I'm managing the things that I've got to do, and it's not taking me very long. How many of you who've said, I'm too busy to plan when I've got to do things? I have. I've done it many times. And, you know, you honestly believe it, don't you? Because things get in on you, they get on top of you, and you think, I've just got to get on. If I don't get something done, I shall scream. But actually, taking 5 minutes aside to put some priorities in there, even if you can get that far, it depends, in a sense, why you've come to this workshop. Is it because you're desperate, or actually you're, you know, not bad, but you'd like to get better? So what you can do is take a few minutes at the beginning of every day and look at your quick wins and fill-ins, or look at your hard slogs and major projects, and say, when am I going to do these? How can I prioritise this? What will I do first? Am I going to do this morning or this afternoon? Am I going to give an hour this morning to do some other things, and then I'll get on with this so that I've cleared my head? You know yourself. Sometimes I find it really challenging to get into something major when I've got four or five things that are just rolling around my head. It's much better for me to take 20 minutes, half an hour, deal with them. Even if I don't finish them, I just decide when I'm going to do them. I do enough work on it to know that it's no longer a panic. Then I can get on with the things that I need to do. And that doesn't take very long to do. And actually, 20 minutes or half an hour out of a day, planning that sort of thing well, you will find that you earn that back in the process of the things you do during the day. Okay, let's move on to something completely different. Goal setting. Now, this can be helpful, particularly when looking at future activities or event planning, bigger things. Now, it might come before your to-do list and effectively create it, or it might come after it when you start to look at your to-do list and realise that there's not enough detail in there. You know, that you might have written down one item and you think, actually, I need to unpack that and break it down into different tasks and activities, when and how and what and so on. So let's look at goal setting. And I'm going to look at, there are lots of ways you can do this. I'm going to look at something called SMART goals. You may well have heard of them. There's nothing very clever about it, but it's quite a useful tool. So SMART goals are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And if you Google SMART goals, you will find a whole variety of different words. But I'm going to look at these because they seem to fit. But if you look at Google and you find some other words that suit you, that's fine. Use them. It's about finding tools that work for you. So, specific. A specific goal has much more chance of being achieved than a general one. So, we might say, in a work context, you might say, we need to get better at selling. Or, we need to get better at administration. In a church context, you might say, we need to get better at evangelism or worship. Or perhaps at home, you might say, we need to get better at entertaining or even gardening. But that's just too woolly. How do you know when you've done it? And what you need to do is to make things specific, ask questions like who, why, when, what, where, which. Who needs to be involved? Why are we doing this? What's the purpose? What are the benefits? What are the background reasons? When? Is there a deadline? Establish a time frame. What? What do we need to accomplish? What are we trying to do? Where? Is a location relevant? Is it necessary? Which things need to be taken into account? Are there particular requirements or particular constraints? So, change that around, and perhaps it becomes, we need to get better at selling, becomes, we need to increase our sales from 300 to 400. It's specific. Evangelism, maybe you'd say, we want to create one opportunity a month when we meet non-church people. That's specific. For home, you might say, we want to invite someone we don't know very well for coffee or a glass of wine or a meal. It's specific. You can get hold of it. But it also needs to be measurable. you need to set some criteria that will enable you to know when the goal is achieved. So you ask questions like, how many or how much? How will we know when it's done? So you go back to our sales, we want to increase from 300 to 400. It's measurable. We know when we got to 400 because we can count. Now that might be 300 items or 300,000. But it's measurable. It's identifiable. You can get hold of it. But it also needs to be attainable. So essentially, it has to be possible. So it's no good saying we want to be the best sales team ever. How on earth are you going to know? Does that include all the future sales team ever? You know, all the sales team in the past, all the sales teams all over the world? It's just unattainable. Or maybe you say in church, we want to double in size within a year. Now, if you're 5 or 10 people, that may be possible. If you're 1,500, that may be quite a challenge. Is it attainable? Or you might say at home, we want to redecorate the outside of our property this winter. Actually, wouldn't have been any helpful choosing summer, would it? But you know, it's just not likely, is it? It's not going to happen. So choose something that works. But it also has to be realistic. So it's not just that it's possible. This is more about relevance than possibility. Is it realistic for you or those who are involved? So, personal example, I'm a 10-pin bowler. So not only am I an Excel geek, but I'm a 10-pin bowler. There's pretty much no hope for me. And I might set myself a goal of bowling 3 perfect 300 games. That might be my goal. But it is totally unrealistic because I have never bowled one yet. So it's daft. Actually, even setting myself a goal of bowling one 300 game is probably unrealistic when that means you've got to bowl 12 strikes in a row and I've only ever done 7. A much more realistic one would be 8 or maybe 9. But what's the point of saying, yes, I'm going for 3 perfect games in a row? And everyone thinks, oh, wow, he's a good bowler. No, I'm not that good at all. Nowhere near. It's completely unrealistic. And finally, it needs to be timely. Now, there are 2 elements to this, 2 meanings. Firstly, bound by a time frame, either as a deadline or to assist measurement. So we might say we want to increase our sales from 300 to 400 in 3 months or in the next year. It's contained. You can identify it. You can see whether it's done, and at come the date, you can look back and say, did we do it? But there's also, secondly, timely in relation to circumstances. So you might set yourself a goal of going to the gym 3 times a week. But it's not timely if you don't have the funds to pay for gym membership. So it's hopeless because you've already failed. It's not relevant. It doesn't work. It'd be much better to enroll in a budget management program and sort your finances out and then get fit. But it needs to be timely both of those ways. So set with a boundary, but also relevant to circumstances. Now, a little task. What I want you to do is to take 1 item from your to-do list. Okay? It can be any item that you choose. And I want you to write a SMART goal for it. So it needs to be specific, it needs to be measurable, it needs to be attainable, so it needs to be possible, It needs to be realistic for you, and it needs to be timely. You need to know whether you've achieved it within a time frame and whether it's relevant for your circumstances. Good. While I'm pretty much done. I was determined to finish on time. And I thought we might start late because I didn't think you'd all arrive on time. So, any questions? Yeah. Yes and no. I think a lot of it becomes a habit. So I don't necessarily identify things and immediately think, oh, I need to put that in that box or put that in that box. But I've over a period of time, it's become habit. So that I work. So as I say, you know, I go through my inbox at the beginning of the day, and I'll make those assessments. I think, oh boy, that's, you know, it may be things come up that you hadn't anticipated, and you think, I've got to do that now. Right, I've got to reschedule what I've been thinking of doing. Can I put that back? Can I fit it in? Can I get somebody else to help me with some things? So the process happens, but it's habit forming. That just for the purpose of the recording, the question was, do I follow that these tools? And that's essentially the answer. I do, but not necessarily in that sort of structured format.
Do you write task lists or to-do lists? And if you do, how do you then modify them when other tasks come in?
Okay, so do I have a task list or a to-do list, and how do I modify it and manage it? Yes, I do. I keep I actually do it in different ways. So I'll have tasks that come up on my computer in a timed way. So when something comes into me, I'll make an assessment. Do I need to do it instantly? Does it have to be done, you know, this week? Or can it wait till next week? And so I'll then create a task list on my computer, and it then comes up on the relevant day, or, you know, it reminds me of things that need to be done. So I'll then manage that list on the day. So you're right, things come up and you might have anticipated doing something. But what I try to do is to date things so that I'm not under pressure. So if I know that something's got to be done by Saturday or Friday night, I will have it on my to-do list on sort of Wednesday, Thursday, so that, I mean, depending on how long the task is going to take, so that I've got an opportunity to take other things in without it affecting that deadline. So that it gives me a bit more flexibility to be able to manage it. Yeah. I think there are some things that I think it's hard. Sorry, I haven't even repeated the question. The question is, the specific question is about going to bed on time, and how do you manage that? It's about, obviously, there's an element of self-discipline in there, but you know that if you don't do things by a certain time, there are going to be implications and repercussions. Not going to bed on time means you're tired the next day, but it affects other things and other tasks as well. I think what I would say is there are times when you just need some help. And I find that with work tasks and personal tasks. And I would say with something like that, I would get a good friend to ring you at the time you should be heading to bed and get them just to say, come on, mate, put whatever it is away, turn the television off, turn your iPod off, whatever, you know, and, you know, go to bed. And I think having that, and then that accountability of that person ringing you in the morning and saying, or did you? And having the honesty to, you know, to open that sort of relationship. And I think it works from a work point of view and other, you know, in other contexts. Sometimes you just need a bit of help, and having somebody alongside you to work with you on that is, you know, is helpful. Any others? Yeah. Okay, the question is, if you've only got an allocated amount of time and it's not your best time, it's not the time that you would normally or naturally choose to do it because you know yourself and you know your strengths. it's quite a hard one because essentially you've got to do it. I think I would say, but knowing yourself really helps because you can generally do things to assist yourself. So I will nearly always take regular breaks. I'm, you know, I'll always have a glass of water on my desk and a jug nearby. And I know that just having a glass of water, having a drink, walking downstairs to the photocopier and back up again, or going to the loo, just having a break for 2 minutes really energizes me and helps me when I get back to the task. Whereas I can sit there and my mind wanders and I think about other things that I've got to do and the fact that I don't particularly like the task that I've got to do then. And I just help, you know, it helps me to do things like that. So break it up. And it, the thing is, it seems counterintuitive in that you think, well, actually, that's going to cut down the amount of time I've got to spend on the task if I head off to the loo too often or I have too many drinks or whatever. But actually, that can energise you. Similarly, if coffee helps, drink it. But if it doesn't, don't. So, you know, if you find that it wires you and it's not going to help you with the task, then don't drink it, you know. Again, it's knowing yourself and how to manage it. But what I would say is it's best not to get in that place. So manage your time before then. But I acknowledge that it doesn't always work that way. And sometimes, and that's what becomes a hard slog. You just need to dig in. Any more? No, good. We're done and still early. Thanks very much. Thanks for your attention and thanks for taking part.